The department works with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to collect information. Actually, since it's a migratory game bird, the Fish and Wildlife Service is the primary authority who determines whether there's viable populations and whether hunting should be allowed. They will give us the rule, final rule, in July, and we will select one of their options. We're anticipating that, based on what we've seen and our conversations with them, a September 1st start date and a 70-day season with a 15-bird bag limit based on the preliminary information that they have from their surveys.
Any questions or comments from the committee? Any questions or comments from the general public? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. I have been, my email's been covered up by folks that are saying this is some backdoor attempt to restrict or eliminate the use of lead shot for dove hunting. Have you, of course, you've probably been notified. There's probably been some conversation with the department.
Mm-hmm.
Could you bring us up to speed? Because I've heard that doves are migratory fowl, so they fall under the waterfowl category, which is not lead shot. It's some steel or synthetic alternative shot. Bring us up to speed.
Okay, appreciate that.
Thank you.
The question was, non-toxic shot is required for waterfowl by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and there is Iowa code that allows the department to designate non-toxic shot areas for waterfowl. There isn't for doves at this point in time, and
there is not
for doves, and the Fish and Wildlife Service doesn't. There is discussion about, and there have been studies that show lead can be an issue on certain areas with high hunter numbers and shot. So it's an issue that's obviously being looked at, research is being conducted, and we'll have to keep that in mind as we go forward.
If the department felt that there should be a rule that eliminated or restricted lead shot, would it go through the obvious rulemaking process? People would have public comment, time to weigh in, things like that? Or is it just done in-house?
No, it's not done in-house, and I think based on the conversations we've had with the governor's office, that they would prefer that it would go through the legislature and that you all would have the beginning and ending say on that. We have legal authority through method of take to address those issues, but I think it's something that we would much prefer to see you make the decision on. I think we would work with the group to provide good information as to what should be done. Looking at surrounding states, some areas are non-toxic shots, especially on public areas where there's high use.
So is it my understanding then, if the legislature did nothing, we would have lead shot?
Right now, the proposal is to have lead shot.
And if the legislature did nothing, is it possible we might have non-toxic shot?
At this point in time, no. Our conversations are that this is an issue that, unless there's new research or new information or something that we think's important to the conservation and preservation of wildlife in the state or health of wildlife or people, then no.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pennington.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How were the number of birds determined? Because it looks like, based on the data that you have, there's 15, I just used 15,000 dove hunters. And if they kill 15 birds a day, that's 125,000 birds in one day. And total, they could get in 2 days, 250,000 birds in 1 year. How do we come up with that 15 and 30?
We don't. The Fish and Wildlife Service does. They're the ones who are the experts on the issue. They collect nationally the information from banded doves, and they factor in productivity and mortality. They look at the population size, and they best guess on what the appropriate seasons and bag limits are.
So Fish and Wildlife keep track of our dove population?
They're international migratory bird. They have legal authority for migratory wildlife.
So how do I get to capture the ones that are nesting in my yard right now and not let them out? I'm starting a refuge.
You'll probably be fairly successful doing that.
All right, thank you.
Representative Heaton.
Just a question. Are you going to address the, is there anything that addresses the issue of the use of food plots to assist in the hunting of the doves?
Yeah, I'm going to interpret.
I'm hearing that down south it's kind of a, they do some food plots with sunflowers, and then when the sunflowers ripen, then they use the sunflower patches as traps or bait, and then they sit around the sunflower patch and have fun.
Yeah, we're looking at our public wildlife areas and the best use as far as providing opportunity for hunting recreation, providing food plots that would be attractive to dove, but for other species as well. Most of the things that attract doves, if you understand sunflowers, they've ever planted them, there's like, my wife will go out and watch 30 or 40 of the goldfinches upside down eating on the sunflowers. Yeah. So there's multiple benefits besides the doves, but doves will focus some of our attention on providing a good quality recreational opportunity where it's best possible.
Okay. Senator Kibbe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the preamble here, we talk about the number of jobs and how we calculated the number of new jobs that's going to be come about because of this dove season. And they, they deal with restaurants, hotel, motel, sporting goods, and all that type. And I agree with that. But earlier, we had a rule under the Iowa Finance Authority that done away with counting jobs that are temporary. And I guess I don't understand for the same administration to take advantage of what I'd call all part-time jobs as far as dove hunting is concerned, and not count part-time jobs when it comes to an iJobs project of building a bridge in Palo Alto County that a Cedar Rapids contractor does. I think we're kind of disjointed there or something. We ought to either have one policy on jobs or not have a policy on jobs at all.
I don't know that I have a comment for that. I appreciate your support.
There's some people in this room that should have a comment about it.
Representative Olson.
Thank you. Just a couple of comments. I know I have been on this committee all of about 12 hours, and I have gotten emails on lead shot. So clearly it is an issue out there that I think we at least need to make sure you're keeping on your radar. I don't know if there's research that is going on that you can share with us about, or if there are other states. I know it seems to me in the debate that there are other states around, most other states around us do allow dove hunting, and have any of them banned lead shot, or are they allowing, or?
Generally what the states around us do is if there's a problem area, it's on public areas with high use area. My boss, the Bureau Chief Dale Garner, does a good job of keeping up with wildlife health issues in the United States, and he was at the Health Committee meeting. And this is one of the things that is a challenge for the wildlife and fisheries profession, is to transition away from lead as it's economically and socially feasible to do it. I mean, if you look back to the issue with waterfowl hunting, it took demonstrated losses of waterfowl and concern to change it. And there are some concerns out there, and as more information is added to the pool, we'll make better decisions. But it is something with targeted animals or tangentially with incidental contact with lead. It's the Wildlife Society has a position on lead I think that most of us support, is that we'd prefer not to use lead if there's good viable alternatives.
Thank you. Well, I think it's one of those things we need to track. And I would also like to echo Senator Kibbe's concerns about counting jobs. I mean, it seems to me we need to come up with some formula across every agency for counting jobs, because we certainly have big inconsistencies happening. So, thank you.
Any more comments from the committee or questions? General public? If not, then thank you. Public, okay, come forward.
Good afternoon. My name is Neela Seaman, and I'm director of the Iowa chapter of the Sierra Club. On behalf of the approximately 5,000 Iowa Sierra Club members, I first need to express the chapter's disgruntlement for the manner in which this legislation was passed, particularly by the House and signed by the governor. An issue such as dove hunting, with a history of extensive opposition, deserved a public hearing and debate, not sneaked in under the guise of another bill and then amended to replicate the bill passed by the Senate and finally deferred to the Senate version of the bill so the bill could pass the House. There is no historic tradition of morning dove hunting in Iowa, and there is no good reason to change that tradition now. Iowans should be partnering to focus on habitat protection for all wildlife in Iowa. But the passage of dove hunting in Iowa drives a new wedge between hunters and non-hunters. Mourning doves are not overpopulated. They are not a nuisance species, and there is no reason for management of this species. Doves are habitat generalists. According to the Cedar Rapids Gazette article published April 9th of this year, Todd Bogenschultz, upland game biologist for the DNR, was quoted as saying the DNR plans to establish food plots, sunflower, sorghum, millet, and wheat, on state-owned leased farm ground. Sierra Club believes this would be a waste of DNR's limited human and natural resources and financial resources. An additional concern is that dove shooting fields, end quote, hunts, end quote, are managed to deliberately attract a large number of feeding mourning doves and keep them on the wing for shooters to target. Typically, plot management schemes are implemented with the principle of planting and conditioning the birds to the fields prior to opening day. Since Iowans are now forced to accept a dove hunting season, we encourage you to at least consider requiring non-lead ammunition be used in the rules. Lead shot ingestion in mourning doves has been well documented in scientific research for more than 50 years. In 1999, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reported that mourning doves are particularly likely to ingest spent lead shot. Ingestion of spent lead shot is recognized as a significant problem due to the harmful toxic effects and high mortality rate among victims. In wildlife, primary and secondary consumption is known to directly or indirectly impact populations through acute or chronic lead poisoning. Primary poisoning is defined as poisoning that occurs after lead shot is ingested from soil or vegetation. Secondary poisoning occurs when predators and scavengers ingest lead shot while feeding on wildlife containing lead pellets. The Cedar Rapids Gazette also quoted Missouri Department of Conservation resource scientist John Schultz, who said a survey conducted on dove hunting at a managed field near Kansas City found 800 hunters fired 40,000 rounds to kill 1,200 to 1,400 doves. It is no wonder ammunition deposits in dove fields is a lingering environmental management problem with an accumulative effect. This effect represents a real threat to populations of mourning doves, as well as other wildlife populations feeding in the area. Additional lead shot in the environment is already a concern for bald eagles and other species of life. An estimated 10 to 20 million birds and other animals die each year from lead poisoning in the United States. This occurs when animals scavenge on carcasses shot and contaminated with lead bullet fragments, or pick up and eat spent lead shot pellets or lost fishing weights, mistaking them for food or grit. Some animals die a painful death from lead poisoning, while others suffer for years from its debilitating effects. Lead ammunition also poses health risks to humans. Lead bullets explode and fragment into minute particles in shot game and can spread throughout meat that humans eat. Studies using radiographs show that numerous imperceptible dust-sized particles of lead can infect meat up to a foot and a half away from the bullet wound, causing a greater health risk to humans who consume lead shot game than previously thought. A recent study found that up to 87% of cooked game killed by lead ammunition can contain unsafe levels of lead. State health agencies have had to recall venison donated to feed the hungry because of lead contamination from lead bullet fragments. Hunters and their families and low-income beneficiaries of venison donations may be at risk. If a season is established, the use of lead shot should be prohibited for hunting mourning doves, and no hunting of mourning doves should be allowed by Iowa DNR until there is a statewide ban on the use of lead shot. If a season is established, language should be added to make it illegal to take mourning doves from a motor vehicle. The use of motor vehicle to take common snipe, Virginia rail, Sora rail, and woodcock is already prohibited in Chapter 92. An amendment to add language to make it illegal to take ruffed grouse from a motor vehicle is currently being considered by the Natural Resources Commission. It should also be illegal to hunt mourning doves from a motor vehicle. If a season is established, we believe the beginning date of the season should be delayed due to conflicts with other members of the public who are recreating on our public lands. If a season is established, we urge that the bag limit and the possession limit be reduced. Sierra Club members are active hikers, bicyclists, paddlers, birders, campers, and outdoor enthusiasts. A dove hunting season that begins in early September will present a conflict with members of the general public who will be trying to enjoy outdoor activities, especially through the Labor Day weekend. Although economic gain was mentioned as a benefit of dove hunting, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service surveys show that wildlife watching brings many more dollars in economic benefit to Iowa than will the hunting of doves. I encourage you to carefully consider mourning dove hunting rules and to review the Protect Iowa's Bald Eagles brochure that I'll pass around here shortly. It details our concerns about lead poisoning in eagles and embodies our concerns for using non-lead ammunition to hunt mourning doves. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the committee?
Mm-hmm.
Any from the general public out there? Okay, the back right, come forward, please. Oh, okay, you're first, you're second, all right.
Thanks for allowing me to speak.
My
name's Matt O'Connor. I'm a director of conservation for Pheasants Forever in Iowa.
Turn your mic off.
What we're talking about today is probably the North America's most popular small game species. You know, when I was a kid, gray squirrel, gray squirrel would have been the most prolific small game species, but really across the United States, the dove is probably our most popular small game species. You know, again, I'm going to reiterate some things that Willie said, but, you know, we're talking about a very, an incredible wildlife species. The mourning dove is a very dynamic population. It's incredibly prolific. I always kind of, when I talk to groups, I like to say that they're kind of the squirrel or the rabbit of the air, because not only are they a great bird, but they're predated by everything, eats mourning doves, and they're constantly being pressured out there in their populations. So they're very prolific. They do have a wide range of habitat types, and I think that's kind of neat because it does fit the habitat here in Iowa, both in grassland areas along the edge of woodlands or shrubby areas. They're known to nest. One of the most important things, I think, about this hunting season is it gives an opportunity to two groups of people in Iowa that we're very concerned about. It gives the opportunity for youth to have the opportunity to hunt doves. It's an excellent opportunity because just the nature of the hunt is that an adult can be right there with that young person and introduce them to the sport so that they're not out there necessarily on their own. And quite frankly, if you look at me, you know, at aging, older guys who are getting a little too overweight, it's a perfectly good place to go out and spend a morning or afternoon and hunt. Our older population, our youth, are going to be able to take advantage of dove hunting. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I represent Pheasants Forever, and there's no doubt that we've had a catastrophic drop in our pheasant populations. That doesn't mean that they're not going to come back, but I can tell you that even from my standpoint, where I could go out with my family or my kids for an hour or two and shoot pheasants, now is an all-day operation. And that's a lot to ask for me. I'm probably going to drop over one of these times out there. But, you know, it is an opportunity for another group of Iowans. It's not just shooting. I mean, I think it's important to realize that the dove hunting is, you know, sometimes it is characterized by the dove field and people standing around it. But even that, you know, teaches people about habitat. It makes the opportunity where somebody has to go out there and create some habitat that are going to attract doves. Food plots are food plots. They're used in every bit of our wildlife management operation on every species. You know, what we try to do is stay away from throwing bales of hay at elk like they do out west, but we do use food plots, and those food plots are better, a better opportunity for both those animals and for people to learn about wildlife habitat. So food plots are a part of it, but it's also scouting. It's learning about where those doves are flying, and that is a big part of dove hunting too. It's not all just standing around food plots. So I think it's important to realize that it's not just shooting, it's taking scouting, and it is a real piece of hunting. I think it's important that we all know, at least I do when I grew up, and pheasant hunting, coming out of Dubuque in the morning, heading out to Manchester and Ryan, the highway would be lined with cars. Not sure if that's gonna come back. But what was nice about that was the social aspect of the hunting in those days, where we had families hunting together, families and friends hunting together, and I think that's an important part of hunting. We don't see that much anymore. You know, pheasant hunters are one or two with a group and dogs, and we don't see the social aspect that we used to have. This is an opportunity to do that also. Not saying it's right or wrong, but it is an opportunity to do that, and bringing back that social aspect that dove hunting can bring back is a good thing for hunting and for outdoors. Hunting is not impacting the population. As we talked about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, this bird has been watched and monitored as hard as any wildlife species out there. You know, there's long-term population dynamics on these birds and what they tend to do, and we have hunting in every other spot in the Midwest except, I think, Michigan, and so we definitely see the impacts of hunting. It used to always be the attitude in Iowa that they didn't want hunting season here in Iowa because the southern states wanted them all to fly down there so they could shoot them. I don't know about that, but again, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. And finally, I'm going to talk to the pragmatists in the room, and I'm not sure if, you know, we like to talk about the good things that happen out there. I think, number one, this bird can bring more habitat on the ground. If people see a worth out there, they'll make more habitat for more mourning doves, and that's a good thing out in our society. But for the pragmatists, the impacts on hunting, you know, every shotgun that's sold for dove hunting, every shell that's shot, 40,000 rounds in Missouri. We know, number one, that it's not impacting the dove, it's not impacting those populations. Every dollar spent on those shotguns and on those shells has got some money going to an excise tax that hunters and fishermen pay federally every year. And those excise taxes are the very basis, the backbone of our wildlife habitat and our wildlife management resources here in the state. They send half the money to Iowa that Iowa raises. They pay for our national wildlife refuges. It's the very backbone of ours. So there's nothing wrong with that. If for no other reason than that we're raising additional revenue for wildlife habitat and management out there, for letting people do what they like to do and enjoy it, then there's nothing wrong with that at all. And biologically, this is sound. And economically, it's sound. And from a wildlife management and a wildlife habitat standpoint, it's a sound thing to do. So that's where I stand on it. Thanks.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Heaton?
Yeah. Since we've got pheasants forever here at the table, when you talked about heading for Manchester to go hunting pheasants, and you represent Pheasants Forever, what advice have you got to try to get our pheasant population back? I mean, it just disappeared like a ghost. And I hear things about cover, and I hear about this, and I hear about that. But it seems to me the pheasant population is not disappearing in the Dakotas with wide open fields and prairie, but they're there. And for some reason, North Dakota must be doing something right in keeping their population there. They're doing something right. Sure. Should we shut down the pheasant season for a couple or 3 years to get our population back? We got to do something. It's just
This is extremely frustrating. I don't mean to take this discussion somewhere else.
No, but it's important.
But I just sat with a bunch of private land biologists across the Midwest, and even Michigan was saying again that, you know, people are tired of hearing about habitat. It is habitat. And when we look at Iowa, and I don't know how best to explain this, but this is what I've been using lately, is that when Aldo Leopold came across Iowa in 1934 and did a wildlife survey, we still had prairie chickens in the state. And prior to that time, if you look at the state of Iowa, and if you drew a line basically just west of Polk County and drew it north and south through the state, that western part of the state would represent the amount of grassland areas, pasture, prairie, waste areas that were in the state of Iowa. And that's what it took. Nearly 45% of our state needed to be grassland habitat for us to have our native species, our prairie chickens out there, and the sharp-tailed grouse. That's how much grasslands needed to be. If we wanted to, and I'm sorry for the non-hunter, but I speak sometimes in harvest figures, but if we wanted to harvest 1.2 million birds in Iowa, now what I want you to do is envision a state of map of Iowa, and we go over to the east end of Pott County, Pottawatomie County, and you move it just a little bit farther east, and you draw a line north and south through the state. Okay, about that much grassland acres is what we would need in Iowa, represented in Iowa, so that we could shoot 1.2 million birds in Iowa. Well, you go halfway through Pott County right now, and draw a line, that sliver of line, along the western coast of Iowa, north and south, that's how many grassland acres we have in Iowa. We don't have enough grassland areas to support a pheasant population. And that's a sad thing here in Iowa, especially when you look at our water quality and soil erosion issues that we have in this state.
But we've got areas of grasslands.
We do.
And there are no pheasants there.
Well, we've had.
For instance, I can go west of Wapello County, and I hit Albion, and I hit Sheridan, and I hit those rolling grasslands. Heck, half the county's in CRP.
I tell you what, out of respect for this dove issue, I'll talk to you afterwards. But one thing to remember is that the last spring, you had 60 inches of rain down there. And we've had that two out of the last 3 years. Now, you know, that's frustrating because I sit in that rain and get mad too. But that is an issue. And those birds are not reproducing in that kind of rain with that kind of spring rainfall. I mean, we have been hit with some weather issues that are over and beyond.
But you don't think taking a year off will help?
No, I don't. Because I think people like to, we can go to Northwest Iowa and there's plenty of birds to go chase around up there. You know, there's still some birds up there. And I'm sorry, folks, and I'll talk some more. But
you do have a question? Any more questions? If not, then we're ready for you again, okay?
Thank you, members of the committee. My comments will be brief. The previous speaker covered many of the points I had to make. My name is Denny Baker. I'm from Central Iowa, and I represent a large number of sportsmen that are very pleased that there is planning to be a dove season this fall in Iowa. I would agree that as in my area, we have a tremendous dove population, and it's fun to watch them grow and come back. You know, the bulk of them migrate south for the winter through all those southern states that have seasons and yet come back, and we have a tremendous population. And it is fun to hear them and see them. But for over 20 years, I've been going south because I was not afforded the opportunity to harvest what I see as and love to eat every year. Tremendous cuisine. My good friends down south have always given us a bad time about us not having a dove season in Iowa and probably weren't really happy to see us enacting one. But bottom line, it is something that I think the whole state will benefit. I really look forward to it. My grandkids are looking forward to it. They don't have a lot of opportunities to take and have an active participation sport out there in the field. I just would like to thank you in advance for moving ahead and enacting a dove season for the generations in Iowa to come. And thank you so much.
Any more questions or comments by the committee?
I have some for the DNR, but let them
come forward, general public.
I'm Lyle Gooder from Mendenhall, and I've hunted doves for 41 years. I'm 78 years old now, and I'm certainly glad to see Iowa finally get a season. I'll show you a little map of what happens to Iowa doves. I read a lot where they've been not hunted for 90 years or something, They've been hunted every year. They're only about 1 hour from being in Missouri, between there and all the way into Mexico. Iowa doves have been hunted for the last 100 years. There's very few left here in the wintertime, very few. They start migrating in August through September, and the vast majority are through. It takes very little cold weather to set, even a cold rain will get them going. And on the lead shot, none of these states, all in the black, none of them have a lead shot ban except in waterfowl areas. And that's where it should be. And it's never hurt the population. I have them in my backyard, two different kinds, in fact, all the time. But long about August, September, they get thinner and thinner, and I'm very lucky if I got any left after October's over. So if you got any questions on dove hunting, I should be able to answer about any of them.
Any questions or comments from the committee? I might ask, when do the doves leave and go south?
They start in August.
August?
Yeah.
The 1st of August, middle of August, or last?
Yeah,
week?
Well, I'd say probably the middle of August. If you start getting cool nights late in August, they start leaving. I've watched them. I've watched them for all them years. I can tell when they're getting ready to go. They're just like people getting ready to go somewhere. They start eating a lot. They start kind of getting in a frenzy, and boom, they're headed south, just like we do.
Do you, like I've had to comment, do you get the same ones ever back again next year?
I'm sorry?
Do you ever get the same ones back next year?
Very rare. They don't live that long. You'll get some of the young back, yes, you do. Yeah. But if they have they always say that they mate for life. Well, so would people if they only lived 1 or 2 years. It's a great sport. I've took all my kids through it, and at my age, I really enjoy it because I can't get out and walk the hills like I used to. So,
okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Any more general public? Any more comments in the committee or questions? If not, well, I have one more. Representative Pettingo.
Apologies. Can I ask the department a question? Two answers. So can we hunt any birds from cars?
Say again?
The woman who gave testimony from the Sierra Club made comments about shooting birds from cars. Can we shoot anything from a car? I know we're prohibited from shooting deer, but I don't know, can we shoot birds?
For morning doves, I'd have to check. With like pheasants and rabbits, yes, you could actually shoot from a vehicle right now.
Okay.
Deer, turkey, and waterfowl, I know, are excluded by rule. We considered doing that for the other species, and we're not going forward at this point in time.
Fish and Wildlife Bureau, do they set other numbers for hunting?
Migratory birds and game.
All migratory birds?
Yes. They're covered by an international migratory bird treaty.
Because that 70 days is going to kill 8 million birds.
If somebody was that persistent, it would be very unusual.
Any other questions? If not, we need to go into now is approval of the minutes.